I would be inconsistent if I were bullish. So I think that 2026 will be a difficult year for asset holders. My return expectations are very low. And my philosophy is that I was fortunate to make a lot of money in the last 2 years in my investment portfolios. And therefore, I'm very happy not to lose any money this year. But I admit, in the last few days, I reduced my position in the stocks in the mining companies. And my expectations for 2026 is a continuation of the trend that began in 2025, whereby foreign markets, emerging markets, and European markets outperformed the US meaningfully, meaningfully. And I believe that the S&P will close the year at the same level. So that creates huge distortions in the economy. And usually, rich people who have assets, they benefit, and people who have nothing, they are hurt. But as you mentioned, this deflationary shock, I think we're headed into an asset deflation. Yes, that I believe.
Dr. Mark Faber, good evening to you, my friend. It's really good to see you again. It's been a few months having you on. How's it going?
Everything is fine, thank you. Still alive, and I wish you and your viewers all the best for 2026.
Thank you very much. I wanted to get you on, and again, you're in high demand, so it's hard, but I appreciate getting you on. Just really, I want to get you on earlier, but I wanted to see what is 26 looking for you, and what's your outlook in this crazy world that we live in?
Well, I would be inconsistent if I were bullish. So I think that 2026 will be a difficult year for asset holders. My return expectations are very low. And my philosophy is that I was fortunate to make a lot of money in the last 2 years in my investment portfolios. And therefore, I'm very happy not to lose any money this year. My only concern in the world is essentially to that my assets would drop by 50%. Not because I need the money, but psychologically, it may affect me and other people to see their asset value continuously decline. So my strategy is essentially ultra conservative. I still own stocks, but I'm not increasing the position meaningfully. And I own precious metals and also shares of precious metals companies. But I admit, in the last few days, I reduced my position in the stocks in the mining companies. And my expectations for 2026 is a continuation of the trend that began in 2025, whereby foreign markets, emerging markets, and European markets outperformed the US meaningfully, meaningfully. And I believe that the S&P will close the year at the same level, but maybe if they print money in sufficient quantity, it is possible that the S&P goes up in nominal terms, but that would be offset by a decline in the dollar, maybe not against other paper currencies that are also rotten. but against gold, silver, and platinum. That would be sort of my view. They can print money, but to generate real economic growth, in other words, growth that exceeds the cost of the cost increases or the cost of living increases, will be difficult.
So let me ask you this. You're still long and you still hold precious metals. Is it getting concerning to you? And I think I know the answer to your question, but I want to ask it anyways. Is it concerning to you that they had such a great run in really, I would say, be before 25, but in 25, we just had this massive run. But is that concerning? And also just the sentiment, it seems like it's quite bullish on the precious metals. Which is negative.
Yes, I agree with you that this should, under normal conditions, say concern me. And I think that the precious metals may correct somewhat from the present overbought condition. However, if I look at the world and I look at people, and I look at the composition of their assets. Most families have the bulk of their money. I'm talking here about average people or typical people or the typical household. Most of the money is in their homes. And then they have insurance policies, life insurance and health insurance. And then they have stock portfolios. And when you ask people, at cocktail parties and so forth, do you have some gold? Yes, but it's tiny, an earring or something like this. But there were very few people, or a nose ring is very fashionable nowadays that women wear this kind of nonsense. And, it's very seldom that someone would have, say, 10 or 20% of his assets in gold. Say, someone has $1 billion, it would be unusual for him to have $100 million in gold. They are, I mean, I know hedge funds manager, they own a ton of gold or 2 tons of gold, but in general, it's a rarity that people have a substantial exposure to gold. There are exceptions, Eric Sprott and Tom Kaplan, and I know many of these hardcore gold bucks, gold holders. As I said, I also hold a large position in gold, but I can see that in the long run, there is probably more money to be made in stocks. But then we have to define which stocks for 2026. I think emerging markets last year have performed superbly. Some have appreciated the share price level and the currency, like Brazil. So they were up like 50%. And some markets haven't moved yet. A typical example is where I live, Thailand, which is considered among the wisdom of economists and strategists and all these clowns that work for Wall Street, is considered a failed state. The failed state has one of the highest number of tourists in the world. And the retirees, they love Thailand because it's a safe country and it's inexpensive. And I think the stock market is not dirt cheap, but compared to everything else, it is cheap. The Thai banks are very cheap, and some people will say, well, they have lots of problems. Yes, I'm aware. Every bank in the world has lots of problems. So I think personally, in, say, in Thai stocks, I get a dividend yield on my portfolio of, say, 5% per annum or 6% per annum. And I think they can go up by 5 to 10% per annum. But this is conservative. Some would argue they will go up by 30%. But never mind. For me, if I can earn 4% on my money in 2026, I'm very happy. Actually, I'm very happy if I don't lose anything.
Mark, I got a question for you. So you
And
mentioned
I'm
Brazil.
running also the portfolio of my wife. I have to be very careful, not that she beats me up.
Mark, you mentioned Brazil. You mentioned Thailand has yet to move. Are there other places that you are keeping an eye on? And then you also mentioned gold. It seems to be your position that you think gold is a little bit overvalued. And you specifically mentioned you're moving money away from mining stocks. Can you expound on that, why your what your reasoning is behind that?
Well, I think mining stocks, this is a very good question because I recently mentioned in one of my reports that I'm selling Jardine Matheson and buying Jardine Cycle. And then a client says, how can you do that? And so forth and so on. But I'm a person who buys very early, in other words, very cheap, and I sell early. Is a mistake, but I do it. And this is my strategy. And I think the mining stocks are not. Andy, he mentioned that. Aren't you concerned about the popularity of stocks of the mining sector? I mean, the precious metal sectors. I think there has been a little bit of excessive speculation in mining stocks. Gold, I am holding as sort of an insurance if things really go bad. And I think the conditions for things to really go bad have increased. The probability has enormously increased because we have an ignorant interventionist in America as a president has to intervene into everything and knows better than anybody else in every field, from fishing to politics to economics to monetary policies. Trump, he knows, and everybody else is an idiot in the room.
Mark, we just talked about like how everything's expensive and how you like to get in cheap and really early. Is there an asset class that you see that's cheap in this money printing world? And specifically, I guess, and this is my own thesis, I see the energy sector, or specifically oil and natural gas, is still relatively cheap compared to everything else. But what's your opinion on that specifically? But then in general, what are your thoughts of what's cheap and what looks interesting?
Energy has been the best performing sector so far this year. And if I look at the composition of the S&P, the S&P is, say, 35% nowadays, technology and technology related stocks. And energy is at the historic low. So, yes, I also like energy and I bought some more energy stocks. I think, about the question of gold. Gold is, of course, expensive compared to a barrel of oil. Because we can measure how many ounces of gold do you need to buy a barrel of oil, as an example. And at the moment, oil is very cheap relative to an ounce of gold. A bushel of wheat, corn, soybean is also very cheap compared to gold. So when you mentioned earlier that gold is not particularly cheap anymore, that I agree. But I'm trying to explain to people that you may have to change your thinking. The most people say, oh, the price of gold is going up. I could turn around and saying the value of paper money is tumbling because you need more and more paper money to buy, say, an apple or your insurance, or pay your tax, or buy a house, and so forth. So the purchasing power of money is tumbling. Now, under normal conditions, that would be reflected in the dollar tumbling against other currencies. But the other currencies are not much better either. Some of them are even worse. And the worst currencies, they depreciate even against the dollar. But the dollar tumbles against strong currencies, which are gold, silver, and platinum. And now the young people, the Generation Z, would argue, well, the dollar tumbles against cryptos. Maybe, but I have my reservations about cryptos.
Is there a go ahead, Steve.
Mark, a couple questions. One is crypto. Do you put it in the same category as, digital gold or currency, or do you see it more as a stock, a stock risk play sort of thing?
I think that a lot of cryptos will be completely worthless. Now, is there a standard that will survive? Maybe Bitcoins, maybe Tether or whatever. But I think a lot of them will go worthless. Any cryptocurrency associated with the Trump family is guaranteed to go to zero. That is my prediction for this evening.
Is there, you mentioned currencies, all paper currencies and fiat is really, it's depreciating and that's why things are so expensive. But is there a currency that is attractive to you? And I'm assuming that would be countries that have a lot of gold, to be frankly with you, or a lot of natural resources, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. Yeah. Is there one that you like?
Well, I like the Singapore dollar, but they don't have anything except, and I think this will be of high value to more and more people. They have a social system that is very safe. You can walk around Singapore at any time of the day. I'm not saying it will never happen, but it's unlikely to happen that someone will steal your mobile phone from your pocket or, attack you the way it happens in Baltimore, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Munich, Frankfurt, London, Paris, Madrid, and so forth. So it's very safe. By the way, Thailand is very safe also because people are too lazy to attack other people. So you can walk at any time of the day, anywhere, and people will not attack you. Plus, we have in Thailand a religious kind of background where property is highly respected. I mean, that someone would go and scratch your car, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine because they respect what is owned by you. And I'm always surprised. I mean, a phone, a mobile phone, relative to incomes, is very expensive in Thailand. But they leave their mobile phones on the table and go and play pool or to go out and come back and so forth. Nobody steals it. In that, and also my office here, I had it for 25 years now. I don't have a key. I mean, I shouldn't say this on American TV, but have some crocodiles. Have some crocodiles in front of the door.
Mark,
Mark,
go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
Mark, you mentioned the things that you're concerned about is
Good
growing. It's
question.
exponential. And so one, I would like to know what you're concerned about. What are you most concerned about? And two, you also mentioned about not having precious metals. It describes most people, and most of their assets are in their homes. So what's most concerning? And two, how should people be prepared? Maybe that we're ill prepared, but how should people prepare themselves?
Well, I mean, we're talking here about concerns about your assets. At my age, the main concern of people is the health. You understand? Because as you age, you're worried about falling down and so forth, which has happened. But about assets. My concern is that governments will become even more evil than they have been. I mean, they locked in people during COVID. And also, this is something for me difficult to understand, that people in the Western world, they let the government lock them in, that they didn't right away riot against these kind of very drastic measures. And I think the government may take your money away one day. I wouldn't rule that out.
Are you
Are you
concerned about?
talking
They could
about
say
another gold recall, or what are you referring to?
it's possible, it's possible. That is my main concern about my assets. And number two, you know, a stock is, say, at $30. Why can't it be at $40? And why can't it be at $15? The price will fluctuate, and the price fluctuation will depend on many different factors. And in my view, the assets, let me rephrase it. When I started to work in 1970, my salary was high and the Dow Jones low, and asset prices were relatively low compared to my salary. Nowadays, a young guy who goes and works, his salary is higher than my salary in 1970 because of the inflation we had. But asset prices are very high relative to his salary. In 1970, I could rent in Zurich in the best location an apartment with my salary. And I spend less than 10% of my salary on the apartment. Nowadays, the apartment in a good location in Zurich would eat all my salary, plus the salary that my mother's bank and father's bank would have to give me. That is the fact. The affordability for young people is not there. And also, socially seen, the pensions of that people receive, they go up, but they don't go up at the rate they should go up because of inflation or because of cost of living increases. So I tell you, close to 70% of US households, they live paycheck by paycheck. And that creates socially a very unstable society or conditions that may lead to problems at some point.
Got it. Mark, do you fear, like, I know there's all this money printing, and my opinion is that things will stay elevated. So that's just my opinion, but do you have in the back of your mind that we might get a deflationary shock, even though we have all of this in asset prices, even though we have all of this printing?
This is something I think every day about. It may not be a deflationary shock in the sense that you're thinking about, but I give you an example. We had plenty of money printing, and in America, some commercial property prices are down 70%,
Right.
and most commercial properties are down 40, 50%. So you, despite money, the problem with money printing is that it will not lift all assets evenly, and then all assets come down evenly. No, what happens is the money flows into bubble and create bubbles into this corner of the room, and then in that corner, and then up there, and so forth. And in practical terms, it means the increases in stocks may not coincide with increases in commodity prices, and the increase in commodities and stocks may not coincide with the increase in wages and grocery prices and so forth. So that creates huge distortions in the economy. And usually, rich people who have assets, they benefit. And people who have nothing, they are hurt. But as you mentioned, this deflationary shock, I think we're headed into an asset deflation. Yes, that I believe.
And asset deflation. One of the ways I kind of think I look at this, and I want to know what your thoughts are. We're going to have inflation in everything that we need, and then deflation in everything that we don't need.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I follow property prices in America quite closely. For my taste, they're not terribly expensive. But the problem is the maintenance that is very expensive. And in Switzerland, the prices are high and the maintenance sky high. We're saying in Thailand, property prices are okay, but they're also relatively high, but the maintenance is low because you can get people working for you and cleaning the property at relatively low wages.
All right. Steve, do you have anything else to add as we close here?
No, I mean, well, I guess one quick question is, Andy, you talked about the things you don't need deflationary and things you do need inflationary. Are there certain aspects that you guys have in mind that you would put in those categories?
Well, different people have different lifestyles. I need whiskey and cigarettes and beer. And Andy may have other needs, you understand? So far, the price of whiskey and beer has been stable in Thailand. But it will go up because the taxes increase every year. It's an
Excellent.
easy way to collect tax on cigarettes and alcohol.
Yeah. Thanks,
Well,
Mark. Thanks, Mark. We'll end on there. To all my viewers and listeners, Dr. Mark Faber is the editor and publisher of the Gloom, Boom, and Doom Report. I've been a huge fan of that for, I want to say, Mark, close to 25 years, if not, I think you've had it longer than that.
Thank
I
you.
yeah, thank you. I've been a huge fan. Always love spending time with you and always love your opinions. I want to thank you so much.
Thank you. Kopkun krap.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you,
Dawati
Mark.
krap. Bye
All right.
bye.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.